podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Morning. As many of you know, I celebrated my birthday last Monday, and I want to give you a tip as to how to stay young. Particularly those of you, as you know, you can't stop time. You age every year that passes. And the way you do it is you wake up very early in the morning on your birthday, which was mine was Monday. And since I was 61 on Sunday, I convinced myself that I'm still feeling 61 on Monday. That way you stay 61 for the rest of the week. I actually still feel like I'm 61, although the reality is I've transitioned into 62. Now, if you started doing that when you were 52, then technically speaking, you should still be feeling like you're 52 right now. You guys got that? Some of you don't believe me. But that is a fact. The fact of life is age is but a number. And the reality is your attitude towards life, the way you do life, particularly the way you do relationships, is critical to your health and your success. My birthday gift was a string of letters from my wife orchestrated with my grandchildren, my daughters-in-law, and my sons. And she cut it up and made me guess who wrote what. And in particular, my attention was caught by this one, a memory, and she writes, "He hugged me very tightly and warmly after our wedding ceremony. And he said, 'I said, I love you.' I wanted to cry, but I stopped myself because two of my daughters-in-law, their fathers were no show to their weddings." And this was one of those daughters-in-law, and she wrote this, and she says this in the testimony. "I wanted to cry, but I stopped myself because I was too shy to say that I felt God was telling me, 'Never mind, your dad did not make it to your wedding, because apart from that, I'm your perfect father. I'm also giving you Papa Joey as another papa on earth. I love it that Pop never forgets to send me personalized messages every time there is an occasion, like a birthday, Mother's Day. I'm especially touched that he thinks of every word that goes into that message and refuses to send generic ones." Relationships are really what it's all about. And really, that's how you, the best gift. I mean, there is no comparison. The shoes that you're going to get, the shirt, even the car is going to deteriorate at some point, but the relationships go on forever. As you get older, you're going to look back at the relationships and not the stuff that you get on your birthday. I was also in another birthday yesterday, last night, by the way, one of the first times I've actually worn all white in a few years. And the lady in the middle, who was the wife of the church member who invited us to the party, made sure everybody wore white so that her husband's the only one who wears black and makes him feel special. Relationships are what make us special, not our performance, not our pedigree, not our college degrees, not the amount of money we have, relationships. And that's why it releases the stress from you, because the people who say you're special are what make you special and not your attempts at trying to make yourself special. Relationships, as we know, is the series we have, and this is our fourth installment. 90%, we said, of the people you'll ask what is the most vital and important thing in your life, and they'll say it's relationships. Over the course of the last 3 weeks, we said that relationships have certain principles that are basic. And yet, in the midst of those realities, the fact of the matter is every relationship is unique because, by and large, we are all unique, we're all different, we're all in different stages of our lives, and thus, our relationships are going to be different and unique. However, while they are unique, there are essentials that if we find these essentials working in our relationships will be strong. We talked about the idea of trust and how important that is, that no matter how much you love someone, if you don't trust them, you really don't have a relationship with them. Last week, we talked about love and how trust and love come together, and that how significantly important that is, that you could trust someone with all your heart, but if you don't love them, you don't even like them, there's no point in having that relationship. Today, we covered the third of those legs. It's called forgiveness. Forgiveness is one of those legs. Without that, we run the risk of losing our relationships. So today, we're going to look at the three things about forgiveness. The first is, why is it important, like we did with trust and love? What is it exactly? And finally, how does it work? How does forgiveness work? How does the Bible teach us forgiveness work? I'll give you two reasons why it's important. The first reason is actually from Mayo Clinic. The Mayo Clinic, which is an astounding institution for health, reviews for us why we need to forgive. It actually tells us that forgiveness or letting go of grudges and bitterness is a key factor to being healthy. Now, as you know, the Mayo Clinic, an American institution, is politically correct. And that's why what we're going to read are politically correct statements. Let me tell you something about the Bible and what God says. God is not nearly politically correct. If you come to church and you wonder, why is God not politically correct? Because he's not. He doesn't have to be. He just wants to tell you the truth. And that's why when you go to church, you get offended and say, why is the church not politically correct? That's not the church's business. The church's business is to declare the word of God and tell you the truth. Whether you accept it or not, whether you think it's politically correct or not, is none of God's business. Now, let me say to you what the Mayo Clinic says about health. It says letting go of grudges and bitterness and being forgiving can make a way for improved health and peace of mind. Forgiveness can lead to, number one, healthier relationships. Conversely, the politically incorrect statement is you will not have healthy relationships if you don't forgive. Number two, improve mental health. The politically incorrect statement, you will be deranged. Amen? Less anxiety, stress, and hostility. More anxiety, more stress, and more hostility is the politically incorrect statement. Lower blood pressure, high blood pressure will be your destiny. Fewer symptoms of depression, you will be depressed. A strong immune system, a weak immune system, improved healthy heart, an unhealthy heart, and finally, improved self-esteem, low self-esteem. Why do you want to forgive? God designed that you should. And the more you do it, the healthier you get. Now, the second more classical Bible reason why you want to forgive is because you live in a world of sinners. The same way that you can't trust people and you can't be trusted is because you're a sinner. The same way that you can't give love and receive love is because you're a sinner. The same way that you have to be forgiving is because you're surrounded with sinners and the probability of being offended is very high. In fact, it's next to impossible. And if you attempt to live life without this ability to forgive, you're not going to be able to process the hurts that people give you. Some people are still arguing with me, online, offline, and in private, and saying, I don't believe that everybody's a sinner. I actually think most people are good. And I often reply and say, are you serious? And then I say, yes. Well, my question to you is, do you lock your door at night? Are you here? People say, I don't think everybody's a sinner. I think basically everybody's good. Now, if everybody was good, don't lock your doors. Amen? You don't believe that. You want to believe that. You want to believe that of yourself. But the fact of the matter is the security industry is not shrinking. It's growing. Because the world knows we're sinners, can't be trusted, we're bound to hurt each other, and we need to be forgiving. The Bible actually says it in a very politically incorrect way. There is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile, the religious and the non-religious, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're incapable of living a life without hurting each other. Hence, the necessity and the importance of forgiveness. Some will argue that I can build a bubble and live in a bubble and try to disconnect with people, but the reality is if you do that, you will suffocate yourself and kill yourself. And as a result of that, that's not the answer. The answer is learn how to have relationships, learn how to build trust, learn how to build love, and more importantly, be good at forgiveness. That's the why. The question is, what is it exactly? Last week, I talked to you about how relationships are mimicked by blood. I talked to you how blood, if you look at the facets of blood, if you look at blood as a single entity, there are different facets of it. One facet of blood is white blood cells, and the other facet is red blood cells. I talked to you about how white blood cells represent the idea of trust. White blood cells are there to hunt down not trustworthy virus, bacteria, and fungus, because if that stays in your blood, you can't trust your blood. The thing that gives you life will kill you. White blood cells make sure that your blood is purified and that trust is working in your life. Red blood cells, on the other hand, is love. It's where the oxygen of life comes from, and when that flows into your system, your relationships and your life becomes healthy. But there's a third component, and Dr. G sitting amongst us and nodding her head. And Wendy should agree with this. They're medical doctors, that there's a third component to blood, and that's this thing called platelets. And platelets have a different function. When your veins get punctured or wounded, what platelets do is they run towards that hole and they create a clotting mechanism that plugs the hole. It doesn't free you from the pain, but it stops the bleeding. It stops the erosion of trust and love, which is why forgiveness is necessary and important. That's what it is. Forgiveness is literally the reset button of relationships that fail, because they will fail. Regardless of how good you are, regardless of how nice you are, regardless of how much of a Christian you are or a pastor, you will offend someone and you will get offended, and you're going to need platelets to plug the hole, to allow that hole to one day get healed. Platelets represent forgiveness. It's a clotting factor. Without it, you'll bleed to death. Without it, you lose the relationships. But more than just the clotting factor, forgiveness is actually a command. Jesus said, "But if you do not forgive others their trespass, neither will your Father forgive your trespass." He's speaking about this idea of sins. In other words, the only way you're going to be forgiven, he creates this literal mechanism that the only way you're going to be forgiven is if you forgive others, because that's the way to health. That's the way to strength. Further, it says in the book of Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, "The Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive." The more you get used to forgiveness, the more you understand it's a clotting factor, it is the way to be healed, and it's a command by God. And finally, it's a choice. Many of you who attend this church, you know that whenever I preach, I, not very often, but every now and then, talk about history. And I grew up as a young boy in my grandfather's house, and he taught us how to read history. And I've always enjoyed literature and history. And in recent years, one of the person that I followed in history, a big biography that I read, was the story of Nelson Mandela. And I remember when I was in Cape Town, South Africa, and my wife and I were visiting a church there and ministering there, and I was told about Robben Island, where he was incarcerated for 27 years for attempting to overthrow the government. And I asked my wife if she'd be willing, and we were warned, it's going to be hot. It's an island, and there's nothing there. But I said, I wanted to see it. I wanted to get a feel of the island. My wife and I went over to the island, and we saw a nasty situation. They were made to chop rocks, and they were made to do nothing, basically, in that island. They weren't even producing anything. And I'm trying to imagine sitting there with a brilliant man like him. He was a lawyer. He was an outstanding leader. And for 27 years, he was rotting, literally dying in that island. And finally, after 27 years, he was released. And as he was released, this now all-famous quote that we've all heard, "As I walked out of that door towards my freedom, I knew that if I did not leave all the anger, hatred, and bitterness behind, that I would still be in prison." Mandela ended up to be one of the greatest leaders of all time, long after he had left prison. Now imagine what would have happened if he did not make the choice to forgive. Imagine what would have happened if he had left there, then he would have been a stunted little midget of a leader, because he didn't choose right. The choice of forgiveness is critical. It's the choice that Jesus did. My own unforgiveness goes to the very top of my relationships. It was an incident that happened between me and my father when I was a teenager, and I blamed him for many, many years growing up, that my life, our life as a family, would have been different had he not done what he did. I carried the unforgiveness for many, many years, and I thought I was doing me justice. The old saying that the people who don't forgive think that if you drink deadly poison, the other guy's going to die. Actually, you're dying. And that was what was happening to me. Until I became a Christian, and I realized how off I was, and this moment when Christ himself was hanging on the cross and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do," was the very thing that literally set me free from unforgiveness. Derek Prince, I think I heard it on a tape or radio, or I was a new Christian, and he said, "The pain of being crucified, the pain of having all these wounds that Jesus had and the nails on his hands were nothing compared to the ultimate pain of being unforgiving. I couldn't forget it." And because it was so real, because I could feel the reflux, the anger, the anxiety, the angst, that every time I would think of this, it wasn't making me healthy, it's actually making me sick. That's the day I forgave him. And that's the day I got healed. Because forgiveness is a choice. It's something you choose to do. Now, here's the point, and here's the big part of the message. If we know why it's important and we know what it is, the question is, why is it so hard to forgive? The simple answer is, it's not easy. Why is it not easy? Because it's not easy when somebody borrows money from you and you have to forgive him, amen? It's not easy when somebody slanders you and hurts you, or if it's not easy, in 33 years of doing ministry, I've sat down in rooms where husbands were left by their wives and wives were left by their husbands for other people, and it's not easy to forgive because it's painful. Which is why we need to learn how. And really, the crux of this message, the center point of this message, is really more than just the why and the what. How? How do I do this? How do I do this on a regular basis? The answer begins with choosing or acknowledging your pain. In other words, you cannot forgive if you don't acknowledge that someone hurt you. If you don't acknowledge someone hurt you, then there's nothing to forgive. Some people think that if we'll just pretend like nothing happened, the forgiveness will happen naturally. It won't. In fact, it's going to be worse. It's like having a cut and there are no platelets supporting that and you're actually leaking. Worse, you're getting infected. Acknowledging that I've been hurt is important. Acknowledging that there is something to pay for and yet I choose to let go of that debt is what forgiveness is all about. See, the other Saturday, we had the baptism of about 11 new members of our church. These are new believers, people who have just come to believe in Christ. And one of the guys that got baptized is this, he's a big kid, okay? He's a kid, but he's big. He's even bigger than Tavins. and his name's Thomas. And Thomas testified about how, as a young boy, a car ran over him and crushed his foot. And because of that, he almost lost it and almost had an amputation. But his parents loved him enough and took care of him and just trusted that somehow it would be remedied. And his foot got saved eventually. But there was animosity and anger and unforgiveness. But the ticket to forgiveness was acknowledging the pain. The ticket to forgiveness was acknowledging that someone did me wrong. And in the midst of that, I choose to forgive. I choose and make the choice of letting go. Actually, the reality is forgiveness is similar to a debt. As and forgive us our debts. Notice the word debts. As we also have forgiven our debtors. It's the same way as trust and love. There's a giving and a receiving. And the only way you're going to be able to give forgiveness is if you learn how to receive it. As we forgive our debts, because we have been forgiven. In other words, this is how it works. Our debts are going to be forgiven as we forgive others. When we realize that, something in us changes. My father is now in heaven. And at some point, by the grace of God, the Lord allowed me to take him into my home and care for him. And God healed it, and I can't imagine what life would look like if I didn't learn how to forgive him. I remember one instance where my wife and I had brought him out for lunch, and he was in a wheelchair, and all of a sudden he started to explode. I mean, physically explode. He's old, And I remember I had to, there was nobody there to wash him. And I remember pushing that wheelchair to the bathroom and kneeling down and taking off his pants and wiping all of the unsightly stuff and the odor of that. And I wish I could stand up here today and tell you that I wanted to do it, because I actually, in my mind, was saying, why do you have to do this now? I was literally in my own humanity, selfishness, and that barfing of that unforgiveness. But I remember after all of that, we've washed him clean, got him a new pair of pants, and got him to lunch. The thought hit me that one day I'm going to be sitting in some wheelchair, and that someone will have to forgive me as well. The only way you're going to learn forgiveness is if you understand that you are needing forgiveness yourself. The only way you're going to keep extending that is when you become real with yourself and not start pretending that you're the kind of guy that doesn't hurt anybody. The more you understand that, the closer you are to moving into the next step of forgiveness. And that is experience God's forgiveness. Whenever you don't do that and you think that you're the best guy that ever happened on earth and yet you don't deserve forgiveness or you shouldn't give forgiveness, you'll never experience God's forgiveness. The more you realize that you need forgiving yourself, the more you're going to realize God's forgiveness. By the way, here's the awesome thing about God's forgiveness. There is literally nothing like it. And here's why. The Bible says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. There's nothing like it. It's not this kind of love that stops. And you know why it never ceases? Because His mercies never come to an end. In fact, it says this, they are new every morning. It's a fresh washing every day, folks. When you acknowledge your sinfulness and you know that God, that's what I did this morning. In fact, that memory of my dad happened this morning. As I was preparing this preaching, I sat down and said, Lord, I don't want to just preach. Is there anything that I'm offending you about? And He reminded me of that story. And I said, well, you know what? Thank you for that experience. Because it was that experience that has taught me to come to God on a fairly regular basis and confess my sins and allow Him to wash me and bathe me and cleanse me and renew my understanding of His love and forgiveness. Experience His forgiveness. The third is to aspire for perfection. You're probably saying, Pastor, what? Aspire for? I thought it was by grace. I thought it wasn't by works. I mean, Pastor Mark just said it's not by works, it's by grace. What are you talking about? Let me explain something. In the entire scripture, the Bible never tells us to try to be perfect. The Bible never tells us that we're capable of perfection, except once. One time, Jesus actually said, you therefore must be perfect because your heavenly Father is perfect. This area of perfection we find in Matthew 5:44-48 is predicated by Matthew 5:44. And the predication was this, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. The starting point of loving your enemies is actually forgiving them first. And in that matter of forgiveness, God wants us to be perfect. In other words, we've got to strive for perfection. We've got to be so good at this because that is literally the reboot of every relationship in our lives. And every time as believers of Jesus, we model that, we change the world. We literally reboot the world. When we master this art of forgiving people, I posted on my Instagram post something about abortion when all the abortion things were going on the last few months, early this year. I posted something about abortion and I said something about to the effect that nobody has any right to kill anyone regardless of their age or whatever. And somebody shared it and it went viral. And it went viral in the wrong places. And what came back was literally 1,000 comments of, who do you think you are? I mean, it was like every stab and wound you could ever experience on the internet. Hello. If you, by the way, if you can't handle that, don't do social media. Now, if you've mastered the art of forgiveness, if you've learned how these spears actually don't stick, and how you can go to God and take a bath every day, do so. And there's a way to do it. It starts with this idea of loving your enemies, forgiving them even before and after, right at the onset of their accusation, you love them. You be perfect. You get so good at that. And I'm telling you, I'm not perfect there yet, but I'm getting there. And the reason why I'm getting there is because I know that God wants me to do it, not because I'm great, but because I know that that's the key. A lifestyle of forgiveness is the key. Now, here's how you start. Now, you're probably saying, Pastor, I don't know how to do that. How do I even forgive? The secret is right there. Pray for them. And it's the starting point. If somebody does bad for you, don't pray, Lord, I pray that you hit them with lightning. That's not the prayer. Amen? That's not the prayer of forgiveness. The prayer of forgiveness starts, Lord, help me forgive them. Help me when I see them, that I will not snob them, that I will not pretend like they don't exist, that I will not be angry. Bathe me. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me one who will learn how to forgive when I see them. When I encounter them, when they actually start accusing me. I was once framed for carjacking. Somebody framed me with fake identity cards, and I almost went to jail. There was a shoot-to-kill order for me. And when I met the guy in court, my wife wanted to kill him, amen? And rightfully so. I mean, it's just like that. Thank God for wives who want to kill your enemies. The only reason why she could forgive him was because I forgave him first. Forgiveness. It's the key to great relationships. Aspire for perfection. And finally, let me close. Believe in God's healing. Here's the reason why. Platelets will plug the hole, but the pain is not going to go away. Let me repeat what I just said. The platelet will plug the hole and stop the bleeding, but your pain is going to be there. Do not think that just because you forgave, you're going to be buddies. In fact, forgiveness does not mean you're going to go to their birthday party again. Amen? David forgave Saul, but he never saw him again. That's not the point of forgiveness. The point of forgiveness is your own heart. Forgive and release. Plug the hole and then believe that God will heal. And so what's going to happen is you're going to have a life that's full of scars, but with no pain. If you don't forgive, you're going to have like denials, but underneath that skin is something that's festering and rotting. And it's eating you up and will kill you and destroy you. People who've learned how to forgive start by acknowledging the pain. It is painful. It is real. It actually happened. God's not denying that we've sinned against him. It's not just acknowledging, it's experiencing his forgiveness. It's going to him every day and saying, God, every time you go to God, God is the master of forgiveness. He's the perfect one. And he's loved ever since. You keep enjoying this thing. And every time you do that and you bathe in that, you get used to it. You actually get addicted to it. And when you have that endorphin going through your blood, you actually just react and respond the same way to others because that's how you've been treated. Not perfect, but you aspire for it. If you set a bar this low, you're going to hit there. If you set a bar that high, you're going to get closer to it. And finally, you don't just aspire. You believe that God will heal you ultimately. Amen? You stand on your feet as we close in a word of prayer. Just close your eyes, bow your heads, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Just be still before him right now. I believe the Holy Spirit is here. Forgiveness is one of the things that the Holy Spirit will remind you. Don't wrestle with him right now. He's actually showing you some of your wounds. some of you, for many of you, I believe this is a message in this series that will mark your life. That from this day forward, you will learn how to forgive. Only because you have been forgiven. Look up here for a minute. This is not my notes. He who is forgiven much loves much. When it becomes the default of your heart that I'm a sinner, I don't know. I can't remember how many times I've blown it. But every time I go to God and He washes me, that's what I did this morning. God, is there anything? Every time you do that and you experience that forgiveness, you just fall in love even more. It's not about being perfect, guys. None of us are capable of that. It's being perfect in forgiveness, and the key is to acknowledge it. To experience His forgiveness on a regular basis. His mercies are new. Everybody say new. Every morning. And we do that and we aspire to be perfect in that. And we believe that God will heal us. We're going to be good at this. Amen? Close your eyes. Lift up your hands towards heaven. Father, seal this truth in each of our hearts. We lift up our hands as an act of faith. Trusting and believing that You're able to do abundantly more than we could ever ask or imagine. And Father, I decree and declare over Your people, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive of the great plans that You have for them and their relationships. Father, I pray that You would heal enemies, Lord God. People who don't like each other, God, heal them. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. Well, God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.